from WBRI 1500 in Indianapolis.
The Martin Bender Band Share Show.
Groovy.
Yes.
Groovy. Thanks, folks. Boy, those new people, that applause really is richer and more vibrant. I can tell that there's just thousands more people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you
tell? Hey, I'm glad to hear. We got to hear from some of those folks in Pennsylvania and Nebraska and New Mexico.
Yeah, we had a guy email us from a hot air balloon in Albuquerque. Great to hear from you.
Glad to know they get Verizon reaches that high, huh?
It's amazing. What a world we live in. I can't wait
to
leave it.
I was on the phone with him, actually, and he was saying, Can you hear me now?
And then boom.
That was it. What are we doing today?
I just want to see if you'd react the same.
I don't know. I heard splat. Let's go. Come on.
All right, we're going to get into the Word of God right now.
Okay.
Yeah. We're going to go back to Elizabeth's letter. We mentioned two horribly theologically sounding terms.
Yes.
Calvinism and Arminianism.
Yes.
Can't stand those terms.
Yeah.
But they're actually named after two people, John Calvin and Joseph. What was his name? Armin?
Arminius.
Arminius?
Maximus Platypus. I don't know.
Okay.
Something like
that. Oh, there's a guy named Maximus, somebody that wrote a letter, an email that I read the first
Maximus
day you were going.
Maximus Primo.
Maximus Proximus.
Hey, it was Proximus. Maximus,
that's what his, that's his Primo, handle. I don't know what his real name is.
Yeah.
But he won. I had asked a question about dangling participles that I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, I heard
that. Did you hear that?
I heard that.
He said that what that's what happens when you don't get have spiritual Viagra.
You have a dangling participle. Let's move on. For those of you who are new, go to our website and go listen to the Weekend Spiritual Viagra, then you'll get all this.
Yeah, we have a whole show about Abraham being invigorated.
Yeah, that's right. Keep going now.
All right, we're going to keep going. We're talking about human free will.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks we have a free will, and it just sounds like something that's so accepted. If you don't believe it, then you must be some kind of whacked out freak. You mentioned a verse yesterday, but you didn't give the reference. God is operating all in accord with the counsel of his will.
Ephesians 1:11.
Very good. Go to the head of the class. Now, I wonder if this verse is true.
Probably not.
Yeah, I doubt it's true.
I doubt God means what he says what he means.
I wonder if Acts 17:24 is true. In him we live and move and are. God gives to all.
And Paul was speaking to heathen there. He was speaking to idolaters, not believers.
Limestone lickers. That's right. What he was talking
That's
to.
Right.
Those Athenian
exactly.
philosophers on Mars Hill. In him we live and move and are. And also in that same context, he says, God gives to all life and breath and all.
Mm.
He gives you your very life. Now, do you want to get more detailed? He gives you your breath.
That's right. And remember what Daniel said to Belshazzar, that in the very God in whose hands thy breath is, you've despised.
Daniel 4:35, yeah. God does according to his will among the inhabitants of the earth. I wonder if any of these verses are true.
They are true. Let's say they are, because God said them.
But if they are, what does that do to human free will?
It knocks it out of the park. It doesn't exist.
I wonder if God's a micromanager. What's your opinion on that?
The very hairs in my head are numbered. He upholds all things by the word of his power. He said a sparrow does not fall to the ground without his knowledge. So I would say, yeah, he's a micromanager.
Yeah, but he just knows about it. He doesn't actually make it happen, does he? Does he actually do these things?
Yes, he does.
Well, you didn't hedge or waffle at all.
I'm just tired of the argument. I'm just tired of people humanizing God. It doesn't make any sense.
God is not a man. That's another great verse.
Yeah, he's not a man. He sure isn't. He's God.
And his name means, people aren't going to like to hear this, I don't think.
L.
Actually, that's a title of God. It's not his name. His name is Yahweh from the Hebrew scriptures.
Yeah, right.
His title, the first title we see of God is El, or Elohim, and it means, this is going to be hard to hear, folks.
Subjector?
Yes, subjector. And it goes right along with Ephesians 1:11. God is operating. He's an operator. Mm. He's not standing by waiting to see what we're going to do. And this goes back to Elizabeth's letter. The so-called salvation formula is that Christ did his part. God sent Christ for the sins of the world. Jesus came in obedience to his Father's will. He did all he could at the cross and never saved anybody, mind you. Mm-hmm. Never saved anybody. Because if he did, then why are we having altar calls? Huh? Mm-hmm. Mm. Is that a good question?
Yeah.
If he saved everyone, why are we having altar calls? This deals with another question. Somebody asked another question. In what sense does a believer believe for salvation? Man, we are opening up all sorts of vistas here.
I'm sitting here listening to say this, and my first question is, do we really want to get into these details now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, let's.
So the question. Read the question again. Read it again. What is the question?
What, about the believers?
Yeah, give me the question.
In what sense, and we're going to get back to Elizabeth.
Okay.
This is from Charlie. In what sense does a believer believe for salvation? Scripture says you must believe. Believe and you shall be saved.
That's true.
Is belief, but many people think that belief is a token, something we offer God in exchange for salvation. In other words, just go back to Christ on the cross.
Yeah.
He did his best. He did everything he could, but you're not saved because now we're all on probation. Salvation was an offer, and now it's up to us to believe or we go to hell for eternity.
Right.
And in what sense is Jesus Christ our Savior in that scenario?
Mm-hmm.
In that scenario, he's only a potential Savior. Mm-hmm. He laid the groundwork. And one thing remains, and in fact, the most important thing remains for you to believe, because up until that point, you're not saved.
Mm-hmm.
Up until that point, as much as he did, the suffering, the scourge, the nails, the being forsaken by God, it results in no salvation. No salvation. After all that, you're still not saved.
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't I still saved? Because you have to believe.
Yeah.
And if you don't believe, you're going to hell. What did he do for me? He just made it possible. He set it up, but he's not an actual Savior. I save myself. If we're going to get down, this is what I say, forget the hypocrisy.
Yep.
Get down to the bottom line. Say it like it is, people. If he's a potential Savior, then I save myself by believing.
Yeah.
That's nothing less than salvation by willpower.
Basically, God the Father is the starting pitcher. The Lord Jesus Christ is the setup man who comes in the 6th, 7th, and 8th innings, and you and I are the closers.
We're the closers.
Yeah.
We close the deal.
We close the deal. So God is Roger Clemens.
Right, gotcha. Wait a minute. Let me write this down. This is profound.
Yeah, I'm just, using, pitchers over the center. God is Roger Clemens.
Got it.
And, let's pick a good setup man. Right. What's a good setup man?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Nolan Ryan, he's
no.
He's
Nolan
out
Ryan's
of it.
A star. Nolan Ryan would represent God, but pick any setup man.
The second tier you're talking about,
and somebody
I don't know. You watch baseball.
Yeah, I
couldn't care less about the
it's
White
just off
Sox.
The cuff, But let's just say Roger Clemens is God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the setup man. He comes in the 6th, 7th, and 8th innings, and you and I are the Dennis Eckersleys or the Mariano Riveras who close the game. We close it. We're the closers. So the Father starts the game, the Son is the setup guy, and you and I close it. We get the last outs to win the game, as it were.
Or lose the game,
exactly.
Winning and losing
depends
on us. See,
God started it.
Yeah.
He pitched some shutout ball. The Lord Jesus Christ continued the shutout. But you and I have a chance either to close the game with a shutout or to lose it.
And our eternal destiny depends on what we do.
But guess what?
What?
In a game like that, you know who gets the loss?
God.
The starting pitcher.
That's a great analogy.
And so the question, she asked the question, and here's one thing I want to verify. We are not all saved. We all will be saved. We all will be justified. The faith secures that in the sense, see, Christ accomplished it. It was finished at the cross.
What was finished?
Salvation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and whatever he did to save sinners, he did it while he was here, right?
That's my belief.
And it takes place progressively. He rose from the dead. He finished it then, right?
Mm-hmm.
But not all are raised yet. It takes place in time. Not all are saved. It's a progressive finishing of his accomplishments. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that reminds me of a verse. I'm racing to it now in 1 Timothy 2:6.
1 Timothy 2:6.
Yeah, 1 Timothy 2:6.
I can hear you flipping those pages.
Here I go. Let's see. It's right before 2 Timothy, right?
Yeah, 1 Timothy does. It is before 2 Timothy.
All right. 1 Timothy 2, starting with verse 5.
Yes.
For there is one God, the starter. No, I put that in there.
There you go.
And one mediator of God and mankind.
There's a setup, man.
There's a setup, man. A man, Christ Jesus, who is giving himself. He came. Mm-hmm. That's what he did when he came. He gave himself a correspondent ransom for all, the testimony in its own eras, for which I was appointed a herald, Paul speaking, and an apostle. I'm telling the truth. I'm not lying. That's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
A teacher of the nations in knowledge and in truth. The point I'm emphasizing here is that the testimony of what he did will not be seen until its own era is.
Exactly.
Has a gradual unfolding, as you insisted there.
Exactly. It's a gradual unfolding. In other words, it was accomplished. Just like before creation, God had his plans set out. They're already accomplished in God's mind, but the time period go through for us to reach to the act to for our experience of it.
People don't like to hear that the whole thing is set.
The whole thing is set in stone.
Well, you're really sounding like a Calvinist now.
Yeah, well,
we
I
still
don't care.
Have to define that. You don't
care.
You,
no,
you couldn't care less.
I don't care.
Well, a guy with a Three Stooges T-shirt wouldn't
care.
I really don't.
That's right. God chooses stupidity of the world to confound the wise. So.
We are not Calvinists.
No,
we are not. The Arminians. We're going to define those possibly tomorrow.
You know what? It's hard to define it because I'm not either. I can't stand Calvinistic doctrine. I don't like Arminian doctrine. They deny, both of them deny the saviorhood of God in Christ in some form. Both do not recognize administrational or dispensational truth. They get rid of Israel. They say that God's a liar and God's all through with the nation of Israel. They'll never be restored again. They deny the coming millennium and the new heavens and new earth and spiritualize all that stuff away. That's why I'm neither. I don't like any of their teaching because they deny the promises of God, period. And for those of you listening, we, in the common vernacular, we are dispensationalists.
Oh, don't say
yes,
that either. No,
we
believe, I'm not a dispensationalist.
We believe in God's administrations, and the reason we believe in it is because we believe in the character of God. If God does not fulfill his promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you and I have no business believing anything he tells us. And so this is all part and parcel.
That's why
I say I'm not a Calvinist or Arminius, and I only use the word
Why did you say you were a dispensationalist?
Because most people, we have to use some language so people know what we're talking about.
But I don't think a lot of people know what dispensationalist is. It's a horrible term. We got to start the next show with it. Look at the time. You see that?
Oh, brother.
I got to give you Elizabeth's second paragraph. This is amazing. It ties in. Do I have time to do that now?
Yeah.
No, I'm not real sure that I do.
You don't.
But you threw in the dispensationalism there.
Yeah.
That just killed me. We just added one more to the Calvinism, Arminianism, dispensationalism. You're killing me, Sheridan.
All right. Well,
all right, we gotta get to that
for
tomorrow. And you do it well, too.
I'm here to make sure you have plenty of Tums in your system.
Thanks.
This is Dan Sheridan. You can find me at crossandthrone.com.
I challenge you to go to martinzender.com. If you miss these shows or you want to review them, you can go there, and they are all archived for your listening pleasure.
Yeah, and if you really want a good website, you go to my website.
No,
which
go
is
to mine first.
Crossandthrone.com.
Once you go to mine, you'll never turn back. You'll never go to Sheridan.